Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Pi Day. Monday, in other words, Monday, March 14th, 3.14 of 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is a blessing to be here with you. And thank you for tuning in wherever you are, however you're tuning in, whatever device you're using, however you found out about us. Maybe you're using a smartphone. Maybe you're using a dumb phone. Maybe you're using a BlackBerry. Oh, by the way, those aren't even supported anymore. Did you hear about that, Vernon? They don't even support the BlackBerry anymore at all.
I haven't seen BlackBerry.
They're gone. There is no more support for them, basically. And so they are, so whatever device you're using. Maybe you're one of those who still uses a desktop. I don't know if too many people who use those anymore. Do you?
No.
Nope. I think the desktop might have slowly went the way of the dinosaur.
Might be heading that way.
Yeah, might be heading that way, as they say. Although, but it's a good day that you're with us, and we got some good stuff to get to tonight, and of course we're gonna sing and have the word, and then I have some sports to get to tonight. I have a hockey update on the high school teams, as both Midland and Dow participated in the semifinals for the MHSAA hockey state championships down in the Detroit area. No, you know how that went. Mm-hmm. Also, I have news, listeners, regarding the baseball lockout. I have also news on the tournament where Michigan and Michigan State are. Also, I have a Tom Brady update for you. So we have a busy, kind of busy slate of sports to get to also. Because sometimes right now on the show it can be easy to be like, there's some sports but not a ton. You know, tonight we got, I'll say quite a bit, but not quite like during football season, but I go big on football season. Those of you who tune in, who have been tuning in since the fall over the last few years, you would know this. But that's just kind of a heads up so that you know what's going on. I do want to let you know about a series my pastor did in Florida, but answering questions on the end times. It was done at New Way Church, Palm Coast, Florida. Forget the channel, the name of the YouTube channel, but search Mark T. Barclay, scroll down a bit, and then you'll see the different ones on the end times that were done there. And I want to encourage you to watch each of the three videos. There's one from Sunday, March 6th morning. There's one from the 7th, so we could go today. And then there's one from this past Tuesday. And it was some really good stuff. And I want to encourage you to take a look at it. I really do. And, hey, I have a testimony to share with you. And that is, so my dad is in New Mexico. And they went, took my grandpa on my dad's side and Monica out to California. And so that was a pretty cool thing. My dad got to meet the pastor there. He's the head of the second biggest, this pastor my dad met is the second big, is one of the heads of the second biggest ministry, Christian ministry in India. And in India is mostly Hindu. Mostly Hindi. So they believe in tons of different gods as opposed to just one God. And we know in our Bible, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God said that we should have no other gods before him. And, of course, that includes other religions. So, but it was a cool thing that my dad got to go out there with my grandpa. And so it's just cool that they got to go out there. But they drove 11 hours to get out there. 11 hours. And they stayed at there yesterday morning for church, but then they had to drive the full 11 hours back to Albuquerque, which, like, from here in Michigan, say, from here to, that'd be from, like, here to North Georgia, like just a little bit north of Atlanta. Or ATL, as I like to say it. But it was from what I've heard, it was a pretty cool thing. Let me see here. So, taking a sip of H2O, aka water. But so we had these kids over at my mom's this weekend. I was down there, me and my mom, and we had a couple's family that we know from church, We had two of their kids with us, and we took them to Somerset and to Great Lakes Crossing and some of that stuff. But it was just cool that they got to be with us. But these donuts at this Mexican place in Clarkston called Hancho. And I have to tell you, they are very delicious. You remember Hancho, right? They have these very delicious donuts, these mini donuts. And you can get an order of them, and you can dip them in chocolate or caramel. And as a donut connoisseur, you could say, I do give them my stamp of approval. You know whose donuts I basically say I don't have time for? The donuts from Kroger, the donuts from Walmart, the donuts from Meijer. I basically say I don't have time for those. I like the real stuff. And these are good donuts. They make them, they fry them fresh, hot. They're at Hancho. And they're just really delicious donuts. And if you're ever in the area, stop to Hancho's. Main Street, Clarkston, not too far from 75. Just have some good Mexican food. I like their fish tacos. I've had one of their burritos, I believe. I've had some of their nachos. It's a good place to get good food from, as of course there are very good food places down there in Oakland County. Down in that part of the Detroit metro area. I don't want to call it a metroplex because that's DFW in Texas. W, whatever, you know, however you want to say it. Either way. If you're in the area, just go down there and get some good grub, as I like to say it. Now, another thing I want to ask you to do is just pray for those, for the Ukrainians that, or in the Russian, pray that this thing is solved quickly and that God just cancels the plan of the enemy. Whatever it is and whatever it involves, we have to see this thing come to an end, however God does it. And there are things with God that, about this that involve Gog and Magog. I'm not going to take all the time tonight to get into all that stuff. I'm not going to take even the time to get into our what our president here in the United States has to do with it, because I'm not going to turn this tonight into a political anything. In fact, when I do these shows, I try to make it a break from that kind of stuff. You know? And so, and you can't just always feed off of CNN, constant, you know, constant negative news, or MSDNC, or ABC's a fake news, or CBS, constant cow manure, horse manure, whatever you want to call that, or whatever. You say, why are you doing... You say, why... You, or Fox News, which depending on who is on there, it can be good old Fox News, or it can be fake news, F-A-X-E news. That's a good spelling for it, right? F-A-X-E? What? I said F-A-X-E. What's that spell? Fakes. Yeah, because what I did there is put the X in where the K goes. Oh, man. And then the AV and all that. And you say, why did you come up with these names? I'd be like, ask God to give you a sense of humor. Because sometimes you have to be able to see the funny side of things. It can't just be all serious all the time, no funny. It can easily get sad if that happens that way. Especially in this day and age, you have to see the funny side of certain things. I mean, you have to. If you don't, then you know, but you can't feed on that. You got to trust in God, because these news agencies, it's almost like they act like they're the prophets. They have all the answers. No, they don't. They do all these speculating. There was a time back in the day where they would just give the news. They would just give the news. You know, you could turn on Fox and, you know, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, you know, the regular ones back then. And they would all give you, just tell you what it was. And then slowly they began to spin it. And then now you'll turn it on. And half the time, mostly the whole hour of it should just be a time of news. Oh, they're interviewing that expert and this expert and that expert and this expert. And then this other expert again. And what do you think? Hey, if it's ESPN before a game and sports talk, that's one thing. Now they're speculating this and this and this and this and this and this and this, but we just want to hear the news to know what's going on. What are they doing? Just don't dwell on the news. At some point, you have to be able to turn the thing off. That's all I'm going to say about that. You watch it as much as you want. Listen to it as much as you want. I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm trying to help you is what I'm trying to do. Because the truth is you aren't prisoners. I am not on here trying to control your life. But I just want to help you. You know, be careful. Don't be deceived. Jesus said, watch out that no man deceive you. That could include media. Media is a medium. What did you say? I know I'm punchy tonight, but some of you need it. Because you know, who knows what you've been feeding on. I don't know what y'all been feeding on. But ultimately, what you need to trust in is God. Don't always trust in everything the media tells you. They're not always right. Many times they're wrong. And so, okay, enough of that. Real quick before we get into worship and then the Word of God, I do want to remind you real quick of the normal two things I normally mention. Number one, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how faithful God has been to me over the years, all the great miracles that Jesus has done in my life, in my body, and how he's helped me through life and everything involving that, various things. Also, you get part of some of the testimony of my mother, too, and how she was delivered from things. So you get that, too, because once she found out she was pregnant for me, I'm not going to tell you all that because I want you to read the book. Because if I just come on here every night and start giving away all kinds of parts on the book and telling you everything, what incentive are you going to have to buy it? So go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book and how you can get your hands on it. It's $15. Okay. When you read that book, hopefully it'll make a difference for you. Hopefully you'll be able to share that book with someone else. And so please go check that out. Let that thing be a blessing unto you. And then bless someone else with it, too. The other thing I want to mention to you is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And, of course, we know the Bible says to give, and it shall be given unto you. Not pray, not fast, though all those things are critically important. It said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you. Luke 6:38. But you can go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I need you to keep in mind, please, that there but two quick things on that. Number one, the first R in Rivers is capitalized. So make note of that. The other thing I want you to make note of in relation to that is that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. There is a space between Rivers and Shukla, so just make a note of that as well. Okay. And so when you sow your seed, I always pray over your seed, and I always pray that you receive a return upon it, because I trust that when you're sowing seed into the program, that you're sowing seed because you want to. And that you're showing that you want to be a blessing. And we shouldn't just sow because we want to get blessed. We should sow because we love what the Lord has done in our lives, and we should want to give back. Also, another thing on that, sometimes it's great to have in mind something that you're believing for when you sow a seed. What is it you believe in God for? Is it for healing in your body? Is it a car? Is it a... What is it that you believe in God for? So it's just something to think about in your mind, what you're believing God for. Now, I want to sow a verse into you that I mention a lot. And it says, he who soweth sparingly shall also reap. And so that means, you know, you sow a little, maybe you sow, or maybe even you, or maybe even it's a lot, but it might not be a lot percentage-wise. You see, God looks at the heart, not necessarily just specifically on the amount of dollars or cents you sowed. Think about in Luke where they took that offering. You had these people, some of which were what some people like to call, some of them were very well-to-do. What I mean by well-to-do is, I mean, like, they had much wealth, basically same thing. So they had lots of income, lots of, and some of them gave huge amounts of money into the treasury. Like buku bucks, one could say. And, but then there was this lady there who was poor. She put in everything she had to live on. I'm not saying you should give me all your money. No. I'm just trying to set up for you like this verse about the sowing and reaping idea. So, but that lady put in all she had to live on out of her poverty. So you see, there is, God looks on the heart. So she had the heart. That's why she put that money in, even though it wasn't much. For all we know, maybe it was 10 cents. And it was all she had. She didn't have any pennies, maybe. It might have been one or two coins total. That's weird, whatever. And she put them all in. But she put in all she had to live on. So what you're seeing, he who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he who soweth bountifully, above and beyond, he who soweth bountifully . That doesn't necessarily always mean more dollars. But obviously, if God blesses you, then God looks, it's 50% that God looks at. So that's the way I see it. So keep in mind whenever you sow a seed, I always pray over that seed. I always pray over it because I want to see you blessed. And I'm not doing it to try to get money from you. I'm trying to get it to you. Like Dr. Barclay says, trying to get it to you, not take it from you in the form of blessing, inheritance, increase. You know, now we're going to get into some worship, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord tonight and see what all the Lord has for us. And so water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, oh, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You speak and waters walk upon the sand. the moon and stars in your command. With us, the world begins. We sing, God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. Oh, 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 oh. When nothing we could do would be enough, you hold the moon and stars, you reach for us. My sin and grace, my sin and shame, overwhelmed by perfect love. We sing, God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. Your name is so greater than any name I know. You are the author. Your name is higher, the creator of it all. You stand alone. You stand alone. You are. Your name is greater than any name I know. You are the author, the creator of it all. Your name is higher than any other throne. You stand alone. You stand alone. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. We sing, God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. God, there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. There will never be. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, the mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. For I am weak, and I have been provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Oh, and I realize great is my faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, the mercies I seek. Thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. For I am of thy hand been provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Robert, this is my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Yes. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are to us, who you are to us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for that we are free to live for you. We are free to worship you. I know, Lord, in some places, in places of the world, people are not free to worship you, but I'm thankful for those of us tuning in America and other places who are free to worship you. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us wherever we are, whatever we're doing right now. Lord God, I take a minute to pray over the Ukrainians and the Russians. Lord God, I pray that you would put a stop to this battle going on, that you would just help, that you would just intervene, whatever has to be done. Cease fire in the name of Jesus right now. And that, Lord God, that just your will would be done in this. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon us as we walk out our lives in these very last of the last days. We know you're coming soon. And we pray, Lord God, that you just are helping us to navigate through this maze, this total maze of the last days. And that you just would help us as you are our salvation, and therefore we shall not have fear. We shall not live in fear of the unknown. And I curse the spirit of fear that's trying to get on us. Any of us who those of us who have it right now, I curse it. I take authority over the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. It's gone in your name. And now, Lord God, I thank you for this time and the word tonight as we're about to open the Holy Scriptures, the Logos, inspired by you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon, is that your word is not void. All your promise, all the promises of your word are yes and amen for us. And I just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And thank you that every need among these listeners is met. Whatever they have need of in their minds, their body, that you are the miracle-working God right there, wherever we are, that miracles would happen, that we would just, amen. And now, Lord God, I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into this kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke chapter 6. Praise God, Luke chapter 6. It's a powerful chapter, but to say, for time's sake, I'm going to go down to like verse 13. I'm going to skip the first passage. I will come back to that at a later time, but John 6 is a very long chapter, so I'm just going to skip the first few verses because so Actually, I'm going to skip down to 25 because it makes a little bit. Gets closer to where I want to get tonight. Being part of what we've been talking about lately was I don't know what happened there. Don't worry about it. But what we've been talking about lately was about the woman at the well, and then about how the will of God. Our food, God, Jesus' food, you know, was to do the will of him who sent me. And then check back. And then, so I'm going down to verse 25 of chapter 6 because it starts to talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. So, we are going to get to that first part of chapter 6, but tonight I'm skipping ahead a little bit, so to kind of stay on. Verse 25, when they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, believe in the one that he has sent." Believe. Don't sit at home in doubt. Don't sit wherever you are and just keep doubting. Believe. Verse 30. So they asked Jesus, "What miraculous sign then will you give so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." I was just uh-oh-ing because some of the people who were standing there right in front of Jesus, and they didn't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, so that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble at him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Pause. That's not saying you'll live forever on the earth and your natural body won't live, won't run out. I'll pause. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to judge sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Now, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, basically what he's trying to tell them is, well, listen up. As in, like, that's what he's trying to say, you know. I'm trying to tell you something really important, so I want you to listen. So he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Actually, no. Let me go to chapter 7 and I'm going to go down to verse 35. Thank you, Jesus. And then he's trying to tell him, "Where I am, you cannot come." Let's go down to verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus was in the temple. He stood up and cried out with a little voice, "You fellas!" Oh, isn't that what he said when he, "You fellas!" I'm sorry. Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly will flow rivers, not a trickle, not a stream, not one of these little crooks, creeks, whatever you want to call them. You know those little beneath, bodies of water that you might find out in the country. Some people call them crooks, some people call them creeks, you know, however you say it. Up here, I hear it both ways here in Michigan. But out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit. Those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "Well, he is the Christ." Still others asked, "Well, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. So, you see here, Jesus is the bread of life. So, we can believe in him. We should believe in him. We should put our trust in him. So, by this food that he's talking about, it's not some bread that you buy at the store. You can't go to the store. You can't go to, whether it be a regular grocery store or one of these super centers, in some places they call them hypermarkets, Europe and that, but you're in the U.S., we call them like super center type places, you know, whether you got, you know, Walmart or some of these super Targets in some markets, or up here in my part of the country, we have Myers. Not everywhere in America has them, mostly just the North. But you can't go to the store and find this quote-unquote bread of life. Because it's supernatural. Like with your own natural, you know, take it by mouth and swallow it. It's doing what Jesus told you to do. Being obedient. If you do what Jesus told you to do, what Jesus tells you to do, and you eat the flesh, drink the blood, you have life in him. Part of why communion is so important. We have communion at my church twice a week. One time is during Thursday night police service prayer. The other time is on Sunday evening. Basically, what Sunday evenings are at my church now is worship, a little bit of exhortation from pastor or whatever, and then communion, tithes and offerings. That's how it's been since COVID hit. And it's actually a cool thing, the having communion together corporately as a church. It's an awesome thing. It really is. I enjoy it. Jesus said, and people were asking him, different people were asking him different questions about all that, about this food and drink thing. And they're like, how do you get this bread? It's kind of like the water thing, where the lady at the well was like, give me this water so I don't have to come here. He just had to explain that it's not coming out of this well. It's from within. It's from the Spirit. It's from the Spirit. It's not just something you get naturally. That's why you have to feed your spirit, man. That's why you have to read the Word of God. That's why you have to pray. It builds up your spirit, man. And so you have to obey him and do what he tells you to do. So I says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And then to go get, so that you could have even more understanding of it, I skipped ahead to the 37th verse of chapter 7, where it talks about, if you're thirsty, come have a drink. Spiritual drink with me. And by thirsty, what he means is like seeking me, wanting me, wanting more of him. Not like my mouth is dry and I'm feeling thirsty and I'm going to have a sip of some cold water. But this is, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's living water. Just like what he said, Jesus says, whoever eats of the bread of life will never die. And I look at this stuff and I go, you know, this is powerful. It's great teaching. Yet, what we'll find out later, another day, another time, is that the disciples, some of the disciples, were trying to sit there and try to tell, were trying to tell, say, well, Jesus, it's a hard teaching. Well, basically, what he's trying to say is, hungry? Come to me. Thirsty? Come to me. I've got it. You just got to do what Father tells you to do. And then he tells them he is the bread of life. Yet people would stand there and think, I have the food. But you see, but what Jesus is for us, he is the bread of life. And he is the living word. He is the living water. He is the living water, the living word as well. You see, his word brings life if we do it. The word alone, no works, no nothing. But you see, the word of God brings life. For those who follow it, do what it says, and believe in Jesus. But for those who doubt, it's not going to be as effective. For those who sit there and just decide, okay, I'm going to keep doubting. And so my question for you listeners would be, are you hungering and thirsting after Jesus? Are you hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, after what he wants for you? Or are you hungering and thirsting for something else? What do you think about most? What is it that you would say you can't live without? Is it Jesus? Or is it something on this earth? Whether it be a family member, a friend, or is it something? Because it ought not be your cat. It ought not be your phone. And honestly, parents, you should love Jesus more than you love your kids. You should love Jesus. Kids, you should love Jesus more than what you love your parents. Young people, children. By young people, I mean, you know, teenagers, younger. You know, Jesus should be your first love. Is he? Is he what you thirst for? And like we discussed earlier, by thirst I don't mean with your own natural, I need a drink of water, so I'm going to go get a sip of water or orange juice or whatever you thirst for at the moment, or maybe sometimes you're so thirsty that you'll just take whatever it is as long as it fits your palate or whatever. Oh, and by the way, about that, you have to believe the whole word, not just what you want. And so, so we all have to make sure that we don't just say we're hungry for him, we're thirsty for him, but that we really mean it. Because it can be so easy to sing the old song that we used to sing. You know, around the turn of the millennium, shortly thereafter, we used to sit there in our churches and we used to sing the song, Lord, I want more of you. Living water rained down on me. In so many churches across America, including my own, you would hear that church. Remember that, Brandon? And is it just me, or would you hear that bit in so many of the churches that you would go to at the time? Even if you would visit, you would often hear that song. Oh, the song, I am a friend of God, seriously. But we got to wonder, when you even sing these songs, do you mean it? Do we mean it? Or are we just singing them because it sounds good, and then we try to squirt, you know, squirt a little anointing on it and make it just... And then we'll sing that song while we're in church, and then go home and decide that what we're really hungry is for something else. So, what is your first hunger and thirst? That first love, what is it? If it's not Jesus, what is it? Jesus said, anything you put ahead of me is an idol. Whatever that thing is, you put it in front of me, it's an idol. If you put it in front of me, it's an idol. So we should really look at ourselves so that we can truly have all these great things that we read about Jesus being the breath of life, the bread of life, about the rivers of living water, about the, you know, when he's thirsty, come to him and have a drink. And so... we really should be hungry for God, because that's part of what revival is hunger for him. Hunger, thirst. Where there is no hunger and thirst, or so minimal hunger and thirst, and it's just motions, there cannot be revival. Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all men. But where's our hunger? Where's our thirst? Where is it? Where is it really? And we can all just act like it in church. But where is it? What is it? And those of you who only go to church whenever it's convenient for you, why? Why only when it's convenient? I don't mean to laugh, but just think. Father, help us with this word tonight. Help us to check ourselves, see where our hunger and thirst is for you to see. Just help us with this to get our hunger back for you, our zeal back for you, our love and joy back for you, our thirst level back up to what it was when we were baby Christians, that we truly would want it, that we would truly just feel it. Thank you, Father God, that you, as we seek you with ourselves, that we would truly seek you like our life depends on. And I thank you, Master, that we will put this word to work in our own lives and not just be those who heard it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. And amen. All right. In hockey of local nature, in terms of sports, first of all, in hockey of local nature, you had Midland High in the semifinals lost to Detroit Catholic Central 6-0 on Friday at USA Arena in Plymouth, Detroit area. In Division III hockey, you had Dow on Saturday for the state final defeat Orchard Lake St. Mary's 2-0. So for them, Orchard Lake St. Mary's was basically supposed to be a home game, just about. But Dow came in there and knocked them off. And so congratulations to the Chargers and to the Chemics. Still, job well done. Good job, Chemics. To both schools, I would say, neither one of you should. Midland, to the Chemics, I will say, go blue. Don't hold your head down at all. Hold your head up. Be proud you made it this far, as far as you did. And to Dow, of course, you know, congratulations on the first ever title for the hockey. Let's go to basketball real quick. Michigan finds themselves as an 11th seed in the NCAA tournament. They will play on Thursday at 12:15. Michigan State finds themselves as a 7th seed. They will play 9:40 Friday night, Colorado State. 10th seed, Colorado State. It'll be in South Carolina, of all places. It's kind of weird how they seed those tournaments as far as where they play these games. Michigan will play some team from out west in the southeast. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Should be somewhere in the middle, at least. Not just somewhere random. All right. So the field is set. Baseball. An agreement has been reached. Opening day example for the Tigers will now be April 8th. And the salary cap for first-year players, rookies, went way up as part of the new collective bargaining agreement. So that's that. Now, real quick, the last sports thing I want to mention, Tom Brady, the guy who retired shortly after the Super Bowl, actually shortly before the Super Bowl, a week before the Super Bowl, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, actually. The news came out 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, but he made it official close to 1 week before, like a little more than 1 week before. Well, he has changed his mind. So shockwaves through the NFL. Now they're the second favored team to win the Super Bowl. Now that Tom Brady has decided to come back to the Bucs for his 23rd season in the NFL. To Brady, I will say, welcome back. And hopefully he can continue to be great, to do great things this year in the NFL. hopefully continue to show Tampa part of why it is one of my favorite places to be in America. As I have even gotten to know a few of some of the places that have a lot of good reviews, and I've gotten to, you know, through the last couple of years of me being there, as it really is a great place. So to Tom Brady for that, I will say thank you so much for deciding to come back for one more year, at least. And so, with that, God first, God always, and until tomorrow, so long, everybody.